This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we'll take a brief look back at Game Week 22, which is done and dusted in just 3 days, which makes a nice change from the two-week ordeal that was Game Week 21. We'll then turn our attentions to Game Week 23, discuss some potential transfers in and out of our FPL teams. We'll discuss captaincy, and as always, we'll finish off with my likely team ahead of Game Week 23. So, let's get into it. Right then, Game Week 22 is done, in the bag, and we started off with Nottingham Forest 1, Arsenal 2. Arsenal's goals coming from Gabriel Jesus and Bukayo Saka. Jesus also getting an assist, as did Zinchenko. Nottingham Forest consolation came from Awoniyi, who is back from injury. Montiel with the assist. Fulham 0, Everton 0. Clean sheets for both goalkeepers in this one, and Jordan Pickford is now the number one performing goalkeeper in the game. And actually, Bernd Leno is the third best performing keeper, not too far behind as well. Luton 4, Brighton 0. A hat-trick from Adebayo and a goal from Ogbene, giving a fantastic victory to Luton. Three assists from three separate players, Sambi Lokonga, Carlton Morris and Ross Barkley. Crystal Palace 3, Sheffield United 2. Two goals for Eze, a goal for Elise and two assists for Elise. What a fantastic combination of players those two are for Crystal Palace. A goal for McAtee and a goal for Brereton Diaz, not enough for Sheffield United. Assists go to McBurnie and Harmer. Aston Villa 1, Newcastle 3, and two goals for Fabian Schär. And Jacob Murphy's effort ultimately deemed an own goal for Moreno, so three goals there for Newcastle, an assist for Murphy and an assist for Trippier. Ollie Watkins on the score sheet for Villa, Leon Bailey with the assist. Manchester City 3, Burnley 1. Two goals for Alvarez and one for Rodri, enough to get the 3 points for City. Assists go to De Bruyne, Foden and Mateus Nunes. Burnley's goal coming from Aldakil with a Fofana assist. Tottenham 3, Brentford 2. Goals for Spurs coming from Brennan Johnson, Richarlison and Destiny Udogi, with assists going to Madison and Timo Werner. Brentford's two goals coming from Ivan Toney and Neil Mopai, with Ivan Toney also picking up an assist. Liverpool 4, Chelsea 1. Goals for Liverpool came from Diogo Jota, Luis Diaz, Szoboszlai and Connor Bradley, who also picked up two assists. Darwin Nunez and Luis Diaz also picking up assists there. Christopher Nkunku getting the goal for Chelsea, with Chukwuemeka getting the assist. And also worth noting here, Darwin Nunez hitting the woodwork 4 times. He also missed a penalty and got booked, which means that despite picking up his single assist, he ended up with just the 2 points. West Ham 1, Bournemouth 1. James Ward-Prowse on the score sheet for the hosts. Kudus with an assist after returning from AFCON. Dominic Solanke on the score sheet once again for Bournemouth. And finally, rounding off game week 22, we had Wolves 3, Manchester United 4. Goals coming from Sarabia, Neto and Kilman. Dawson, Neto and Cunha with assists. But not enough for Wolves, as Manchester United's 4 goals came from Marcus Rashford, Hoyland, Scott McTominay and Kobbie Mainoo. Assists went to Bruno Fernandes, Shaw, Hoyland and Fawson. So that was game week 22. I had a pretty strong game week in the end, and that was mostly in part down to my captaincy choice. I was umming and erring between Richarlison and Alvarez. Had the armband on Richarlison up until about half an hour before the deadline. Made the switch right at the last minute to Alvarez. And that actually got me an extra 6-point swing. So very happy with that. 26-point return from Alvarez after his 13 points gets doubled. Solanke and Watkins both returning for me as well. Richarlison still getting on the score sheet, which was great to see. And Saka's 10-point return was also a relief to see after a 5-0 win the previous week and absolutely no return from him. Blanks for Gross and Palmer in my midfield. I'm not too worried about Cole Palmer, but I'm pretty disappointed with Pascal Gross. He's had a couple of good fixtures and failed to return for me, so I don't think that particular experiment has really worked out. Could be looking to move him on this game week. In defence, 3 blanks from Gabriel, Pedro Porro and Trent. Trent obviously coming on for a single pointer towards the end of that Liverpool match. Areola also failing to keep a clean sheet, but 69 points and that was enough for a green arrow. Marching up the overall rankings, we're now up to 261k. Not too bad at all. I'm pretty happy with that after a fairly slow start to the season. Right then, time to look at game week 23. The deadline is Saturday the 3rd of February at 11 a.m. UK time. That is 90 minutes before the first fixture of the week, and that is Everton versus Spurs. We then have Brighton against Palace, Burnley take on Fulham, Newcastle host Luton, and Sheffield United take on Aston Villa. We then on Sunday got Bournemouth versus Forest, Chelsea versus Wolves, Manchester United are home to West Ham, and then Arsenal take on Liverpool in a big top of the table clash. Monday night football rounds off the game week, which sees Brentford host Manchester City. So a couple of key topics for us to be considering ahead of the deadline this week. The first is Erling Haaland and the second one is Liverpool assets, and we'll come on to them in a second. Erling Haaland first. So Haaland came off the bench in game week 22 to get 20 minutes of football under his belt. Not too many opportunities for him to score, but we do now expect him to be back in that starting lineup sooner rather than later. Pep has suggested that he's more than capable of doing that, so it's perfectly understandable for any FPL manager to think, right, it's time to pull the trigger, get Haaland back into the team straight away. I am less convinced at the moment that he's an absolute necessity. I think Alvarez has done really, really well while he's been away, almost to the point where I don't think he is droppable at the moment. And also with Kevin De Bruyne coming back from injury and Pep being slightly more tentative with his reintroduction into the first team, we could see similar treatment to Haaland. Pep was asked whether or not he would be easing him back in slowly, and he did stress that it was a slightly different situation with his injury in comparison to Kevin De Bruyne's. So the likelihood is Haaland's back in the starting lineup, but I'm not totally convinced that that would necessarily be at the expense of Alvarez. Alvarez has almost got himself into an undroppable position. He's been in great form all season, had a little dip a few weeks ago, but he seems to have refound his goal scoring form in recent weeks as well. So I can't see Pep dropping Alvarez at the moment. We could, of course, see Alvarez and Haaland playing together, which is what was happening before Haaland's injury. Of course, at that point, De Bruyne wasn't back, and now De Bruyne is back. He's ultimately playing in the position that Alvarez was playing in De Bruyne's absence when Haaland was in the team. So we could potentially see all three. Someone's got to give. We saw Bernardo surprisingly left out of the starting 11 in game week 22. Of course, he probably just desperately needed a rest, having played almost every single minute of the season so far. So my gut at the moment says that De Bruyne might be the one that has his minutes slightly more limited. And I expect to see Haaland back in the starting lineup, but not at the expense of Alvarez. So with that in mind, I think I'm going to keep Alvarez, and I'm not actually completely certain that Haaland starts, so I'm not going to bring him in this game week. I'm going to stick with the front three that I had from last week. That's Alvarez, Solanke and Watkins. And one of the main reasons for that is that all three of those have great fixtures And I don't really want to sell Alvarez right now. It just doesn't feel right with him playing so well. So Alvarez is away at Brentford. Solanke is at home to Nottingham Forest. And Ollie Watkins is away at Sheffield United. They're great fixtures. I do think that all three of them can return once more. And it gives me just another week of just assessing that Haaland situation and seeing how many minutes he gets. Is he back in the starting lineup? And I'll be better informed to make a call on it in game week 24. Of course, anyone who wants to bring in Haaland this week, having seen him now play 20 minutes of football for City and the fact that Pep said he is ready to start, it's completely understandable you'd bring Haaland back in immediately, and you'd probably also captain him with that fixture away at Brentford. Now, the other thing to discuss is actually not what's happening in game week 23, but what is potentially now not happening in game week 25, and that is the Liverpool double. Liverpool's fixture with Luton, that is yet to be rescheduled, has not yet been confirmed to move into game week 25, as many had predicted it would. And at the time of recording on Friday evening, it's now looking increasingly unlikely that will happen, as there's just not enough notice now for the club or for the fans to prepare for that fixture. So whilst it's not 100% out of the question, it's increasingly unlikely it's going to happen. And we know for a fact that Liverpool blank in game week 26 because of their involvement in the League Cup final. So with no double in 25 now and a blank in 26, there's a lot less demand on Liverpool assets. Now, just because they're not doubling doesn't mean to say that we should now avoid Liverpool players. I know they blank in 26, so we definitely don't want to start thinking about tripling up on Liverpool assets, because that's going to really disrupt your team structure and cause you quite a lot of headaches when none of them can play in game week 26. But their next five game weeks sees them face Arsenal away, which is obviously tricky. But then they have Burnley, Brentford, a blank, and Nottingham Forest. And I definitely think there's a lot of points to be won there. Diogo Jota is in fantastic form at the moment. So he's a very, very appealing option if you want to go there. I mean, even this week away at Arsenal, you do still fancy that with Liverpool's form, they can get something out of that game. They can score goals. And I think Jota's a perfectly reasonable option to go with. And then you're ahead of the game when they face Burnley and Brentford. Now, Darwin Nunez, on the other hand, is a slightly more interesting option. I think if you've already got him, I'm sure he's been quite infuriating for you at times. I wouldn't sell him immediately. I know he's been frustrating, but these are pretty good fixtures, and we have seen that he can be pretty dangerous. He just obviously needs to convert his chances a little bit better. You might see that with some of these kind of fixtures against Burnley and Brentford after the Arsenal game, and there's no guarantee Salah will be back before then, so his minutes still look pretty good as well. Trent Alexander-Arnold is a slightly more interesting one because he does feel like one of those premium powerhouse picks in defence for FPL. When he scores, he tends to score pretty big in the game. And we've seen he's now back from injury. However, whilst he's been away, Connor Bradley has been nothing short of absolutely incredible. Now, I'm certainly not saying that Bradley is going to take Trent's place in that starting 11, but if Klopp thinks that Trent needs a rest for whatever reason, then he now has a perfectly capable deputy. We could even see both of them feature if Klopp fancies playing Trent in midfield and he's keen on getting both on the pitch. But I certainly wouldn't be looking to buy Connor Bradley. Certainly no guarantees that he is starting and guaranteed any minutes now that Trent is back. Likewise, I certainly wouldn't be looking at selling Trent either. The only thing that would make me consider selling Trent would be if I need to raise funds to get Haaland or Salah back into my team. But I think we're a couple of weeks still away from that situation. So no panic there right now. Another team I think worth discussing at this point is Newcastle. Some pretty poor form in the Premier League of late, and that was finally turned around with a really impressive victory over Aston Villa. They went into that game on the back of a 4-game losing streak in the Premier League, managed to end that, and now they go into some pretty good fixtures. The next three for Newcastle are Luton at home, Forest away, and Bournemouth at home. Now, one player for Newcastle that a lot of people are tempted to bring in is Anthony Gordon, if you don't have him already. Another one is Fabian Schär. His two goals have brought him to the forefront of many FPL managers' minds. I suppose if you were thinking of trying to save some money by selling a Trent, then perhaps moving to someone like a Fabian Schär would be a great way of saving a little bit of money, continuing to have a decent attacking threat from your defensive line. But back to Anthony Gordon, because whilst he didn't return in that fixture against Aston Villa, overall this season he's been really impressive. 7 goals and 7 assists so far this season. At 6.2 million, very appealing. He's had great minutes all season. 22% of FPL managers agree and have him in their side. So if you want to join that crew, then I think now is a pretty good time to bring him in with those fixtures on the horizon. There is also a very small chance that he could play up front. We've seen slight injury concerns with both Isak and Wilson, not quite back ready to match fitness just yet. So who knows, we could see Anthony Gordon in a slightly more advanced role. I'm not too sure if that would necessarily guarantee him more points, but certainly something to keep an eye on. Okay then, time now to talk captaincy, and there are, as usual, several options up for debate. If Haaland is playing as we expect him to, he is of course always the standout candidate. However, the uncertainty around whether or not he is guaranteed to start means that there's quite a few other very appealing options. And I do think many FPL managers will either not bring Haaland back in straight away or will still fancy having a punt on someone else. So I did actually mention Anthony Gordon, who has a home fixture against Luton. If you are bringing him in or you already own him, I don't think it's a crazy suggestion to go with Gordon for captaincy. Cole Palmer is at home against Wolves. Of course, Palmer is also on penalties, which is also very appealing. Richarlison away at Everton against his former club. He's in fantastic goal-scoring form, 7 goals in his last 7 appearances. He's also likely to be on penalties in Son's absence, who incidentally is still away on international duty. South Korea finding a bit of a knack for scoring last-minute equalisers and going through on extra time or penalties. They're actually through to the semi-final now. They've got a semi-final against Jordan, so they are favourites to go through to the final, which would be next Saturday. So the likelihood is I don't think we're going to see Son back until game weeks 24 or 25. Back to captaincy chat now. Up front, plenty of candidates. As I said, Haaland. But if you are sticking with Alvarez, a perfectly viable captaincy choice, especially after last game week's exploits. And then we've got Solanke at home to Forest. His goal scoring form continues to impress and deliver FPL returns. And Ollie Watkins was on the score sheet in 22. Can he do it again? He's got a kind fixture in 23 away at Sheffield United. At the moment, I have the captain's armband on Julian Alvarez, more so out of loyalty, I think, than anything else. But I am definitely very tempted by Richarlison and Ollie Watkins. So I think somewhere between those three, I will float around like I did last time until my gut gives me an answer about 20 minutes before the deadline. Right then, just time to run through my likely team ahead of game week 23. I've made one of my 2 free transfers after rolling last game week. The transfer I've made, I've given up on the Pascal Gross experiment. He is gone. I've sold him. And in comes Anthony Gordon. I've given it lots of promising chat this week, so I couldn't then go and not bring him in. So in goal, I'm going with Dubravka, who has Luton at home. A back three of Gabriel at home to Liverpool, Pedro Porro away at Everton, and Trent Alexander-Arnold away at Arsenal. So I'm not expecting clean sheets for Gabriel and Trent Alexander-Arnold. I'm just hoping for some attacking returns. Quite possible with Trent if he is back in the starting lineup. A midfield four consists of new signing Anthony Gordon at home to Luton, Cole Palmer at home to Wolves, Bukayo Saka at home to Liverpool, and Richarlison visiting his former club Everton. Up front, it's the same three that delivered for me in the previous game week. Julian Alvarez away at Brentford, Dominic Solanke at home to Nottingham Forest, and Ollie Watkins away at Sheffield United. Captain's armband at the moment on Alvarez could be Watkins, could be Richarlison. We'll have to wait until a few minutes before the deadline. On the bench, I've got Areola and then three players who will almost certainly not be featuring: Son, Lascelles and Taylor. So there you have it. That's all we have time for. That's my team lineup ahead of game week 23. A reminder once again, the deadline is Saturday, the 3rd of February at 11 a.m. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter or X at OneStopFPL or at AndyJAudio. Good luck to everyone out there chasing a green arrow. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.